you're doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather round. I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the umpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk thee. And all the rappers in the top.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Totally Unbiased Sports with Josh and Kellen. This week, we have episode 65. You're not going to believe this. It is the Alan Faneca episode of Totally Unbiased Sports, and boy, do we have a lot. And when I mean a lot, we have a lot to unpack for you this week. And Kellen, what's your number 65 before we get any further? I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but, you know, your 65?
My 65 is Nate Jones, reliever for the Chicago White Sox. Had a couple good years, and then his arm completely fell off his body, so I still love him. Great player. You're right, though. This is a big episode. Lots happened this week. I'm pretty excited because this will be one of our more where we can actually focus on like important stuff that happened in sports this week. Like, it's been a lot of regular season football for a while, and now we got a national championship and the final week of the NFL where tons happened. So
yeah, exciting. So as we usually do, let's start with the Monday night game.
No, we got to start with the national championship.
That's what happened on Monday night. God.
Oh, okay. I was thinking Monday night football.
God, you blew that one. There's no Monday night football. So, sorry. As I was saying. So, let's start like we do every week, Kellen. And let's start with the Monday night game. I promise this week we won't talk about it for a half an hour because it's not as important as last week's Monday night game. But let's talk about the Monday night game. Alabama, Georgia played in the national championship. And, oh, baby, it's a bad day to be a Crimson Tide. I don't know, Cal, who were you rooting for in this game, and why was it Georgia?
I was cheering for Alabama, actually.
Hey, that's a narc move.
Because I have interacted with Georgia fans directly, and they are the worst breed of humans imaginable. I say that having lived in South Bend for most of my life. So you know this is coming from a sincere place.
At least Notre Dame fans don't bark.
Exactly. Now, but exactly, you're kind of proving my point right now, is why I hate Georgia fans. And on top of that, I hate SEC fans. And by SEC, I mean people who cheer for the SEC. And that was a lose-lose either way, because both teams were in the SEC. Okay. But if you have two different teams that are winning national championships in Alabama and Georgia, the SEC becomes even more insufferable. So, if Bama wins another championship, how bad does that really hurt us anymore? Like, they're already the most successful program there is. Who cares at this point, right?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly feel like we're kind of just numb to that fact now, which you do make a good point there. Overall impressions of this game, Kellen, like, where were you at? Did you intently watch it? Was it a social gathering kind of watching? How are we following the national championship this year? Because I feel like it kind of flew under the radar, because I mentioned to a couple people today while I was at work, like, I was like, oh yeah, I'm probably just going to watch the game tonight. And they're like, what game? And so I feel like this kind of, is it just Michigan, or did this game kind of fly under the radar a little bit?
Yeah, I think it did a little bit. And that's, I think it's just because kind of the everything that's happened in the NFL kind of overshadowed it a little bit this week, but also it's like SEC teams, it's Bama, Georgia. It's kind of old news at this point. Like, we're kind of all getting sick of it. I mean, I would be interested to see what the television numbers look like to see if what we're saying is actually true. But
oh, I cannot see the television numbers. I do think we need to take just a quick moment. We need to congratulate the people of Indianapolis on a championship in their city. we need to give them that moment.
Yeah.
Indianapolis, you got a championship in your city in the year of 2022, which I don't know. We'll talk about this a little bit in depth later, but I just wanted to get ahead of it and just congratulate the city of Indianapolis for having a championship in their city.
They had a championship there last year too. I don't know if you remember this, but Baylor basketball did win the national championship in basketball. April 5th, 2021, they won it in Indianapolis. So just saying.
So it's the city of Indianapolis got back-to-back championships now?
Back-to-back championships. Let's go, Colts fans. There we go. Something to hang your hat on right there.
What a great day for Indianapolis.
If they, like, they have to be ecstatic right now.
This has to be one of the best days in Indianapolis history.
Truly. Yeah. You went back-to-back. Congratulations, Indianapolis.
Unbelievable moment for Indianapolis.
But back to the national championship game. Yeah. I think there's a clear point where everything was going to go wrong for Bama. It's like you can see Georgia's defense brought it more than they did in the SEC championship game. And that was going to be a problem, not necessarily a huge difference maker. But once Jameson Williams went out and you saw his knee completely pop out of place, you're like, OK, well, they don't. This is kind of now Bama has no receiving game.
Yeah.
And their run game was already getting stifled a good amount. Georgia has a great defense. It's just Bama needed to bring it even more on defense now, even more on offense, and they couldn't really match that like they did in the SEC championship game.
Yeah, I totally agree. Do you now? I mean, some people might possibly be asking. I'm not asking, but like some people could be asking. Did Georgia like purposely lose the SEC championship so that they could not put enough film out there to Alabama?
Maybe. Like, you
know, did they possibly throw that game for the bigger game?
Because if they win that game, Bama's like, not even in the playoffs.
Yeah, obviously, as an educated football fan, I'm not saying this, but some people might who are not as educated as me, like I share your same beliefs. Like, yeah, obviously. But like some people might be saying this. I might have seen it out there. Like, I don't know. The bottom line here. It's hard to beat a team twice. Just remember that throughout this entire week, it's hard to beat a team twice.
Yeah.
Remember that. That's a rule for playoffs. It is hard to beat a team twice.
We got it.
I hope everyone remembers that it's difficult to beat a team twice.
Tell that to the Packers whenever they play the Bears, because I'm sick of losing to them twice a year. I'll tell you that right now.
This maybe only applies in the playoffs.
Maybe.
It's hard to beat a team twice.
Also, don't forget it. Did you notice about this game? The score was 6-9 for the longest time. And it read Georgia 6, Alabama 9 for half the game. And they kept saying the score was 9-6. I thought that was very unprofessional.
It was. And I'm disappointed in Kirk because Kirk Herbstreit possibly made one of the most professional moves ever. He called an entire game on Saturday afternoon. And then was fully prepared for the national championship game tonight. That's a pro's pro right there. We got to give it to Kirk Herbstreit. And then he comes out and he's flipping the score. Like, everyone reads left to right, Kirk. Everyone reads left to right. You got to read the score left to right. I'm sorry. I don't know why. Like, I don't know why he wouldn't. It would bother me even if it was 8-10.
Yeah.
But it was just.
It was an especially special number.
Yeah. And I'll be honest, I wanted the score to end like that. I was watching with some friends and they were like, hey, what do you want? Who do you think is going to win? I was like, I got Georgia. And they're like, what's the score going to be? I'm like, well, obviously it's going to be 6-9. But like, I mean, that didn't benefit Georgia, but you know, I still wanted Georgia. And Georgia came out on top, if we haven't mentioned that already. And you're a sport manager, technically, Kellen. That was kind of your degree.
It's a little more professional than I have a bachelor's in business, but it's not a big deal. Okay. Or anything.
I mean, so not a big deal. So do I. I double minored in all.
And
that.
You have a higher paying job than me, but it's not a big deal.
Exactly, and it is my first job ever, and I got promoted out of being a grad assistant, so that was weird.
We'll talk about that.
But how much of a dream is it that they only had to budget for one color confetti for this game? Like, these are things people don't normally think about, but that was something I noticed when it went off. I was like, they only had to budget for one color. Maybe is this why the NCAA might be rigged? Is this why Alabama and Georgia play so much so they can save money on confetti?
The confetti money, yeah.
That's an honest question, because then they can use it in the March Madness tournament for Baylor.
Yeah.
Like, then they actually only have to buy two colors.
Yeah, that's
about it. If you think about Ohio State a lot,
Well, and if you look back at, I mean, there was that stat in March Madness for the longest time where the national championship had a shade, the national champion always had a shade of blue in their colors for like 15 years straight until I think Louisville broke it. So like, of course they're trying to save money on confetti. Confetti probably costs so much money. I mean, as we know, little tiny pieces of paper. If you're only, I mean, how many championships does the NCAA have a year? It's insane. There's so many sports.
I don't know, but like, I mean, you got to give it to Mark Emmert. He's
the true hero. Maybe player of the week.
He might be the player of the week because he's saving money for the NCAA.
Yeah.
That is generated by the players that he's not paying, but he's saving that money by rigging the NCAA to whatever confetti colors he feels. Who do you think picks it? Do you think like he asks his kids, like, hey, what color should I pick this year? And then that's who wins the national championship.
I think there is a little bit of success base to it, because you can't just rig a season for a team like Illinois. I don't know why it's Illinois. Illinois is a bad example. True. They got their season rigged against them.
The thing is, Kellen, I guess it's not like who's gonna win. Whose NCAA violations are we gonna overlook this year?
Yeah. Well, it's always an SEC school.
It is. And I would just like to say, okay, hand up. People might be like impressed that I knew Mark Emmert's name off the top of my head. Hand up. I Googled it.
No, we like that because you usually don't even Google the names.
The only reason I'm saying this is I typed in NCAA commish. People always ask, or people also ask, you know how that comes up on Google? How do I file a complaint with the NCAA?
Yeah,
that was the next one that popped up. That's the only reason I'm mentioning this. So, I mean, I think the college football season was honestly kind of a success this year. Like,
yeah, I mean, they played a whole season. That's a successful measure in today's world right now.
Yeah, I mean, we got some good games. We got some fun. The playoffs weren't really fun, but we got some good games throughout the year.
Yeah, I mean, at least the championship game was close. Just to like kind of close out on like more game notes that actually happened in the game. I think like we could just say, you know, Georgia's defense showed up. They played a lot better. Stetson Bennett, that might be the dumbest name ever, but he needed to show up and he finally did. That was the big key. Is like, has Georgia's quarterback showed up this game, they have a good shot of winning because that's their worst position. He's their only white guy that starts games too, on offense and defense.
I feel like Georgia's had Bennett as their as the quarterback's last name for 10 years.
Dude, he looked like a combination of every Georgia quarterback from the last 15 years.
It was like
Matt Stafford, Jake Fromm, Aaron Murray, all in one person. Dude, I was like, I'm looking at all these people right now.
They've just been taking DNA from like every quarterback for the last 10 years and just putting it into this.
But it's like the worst parts of each of them. Like, let's take Jake Fromm's sissy arm that can only throw 15 yards downfield. Let's take Aaron Murray's eyebrows and Matt Stafford's charisma. And now we got our quarterback for a lifetime. That's Georgia right there. But he won a national championship. I can't believe Stetson Bennett is a national champion quarterback. He's Stetson Bennett IV. That means there's three other people named Stetson in this world, at least. And now there's going to be a bunch more because dumbass Georgia fans are going to start naming their kids Stetson.
So he doesn't have a future in the NFL, right?
No. God, no. Have you seen that guy?
Drafts him.
Who drafts him?
Who's drafting him?
Oh, my gosh. The New York Football Giants? Of course. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
That's number one. I mean, if the Giants had the number one pick, they would take Stetson Bennett with that pick. He might not even be draft eligible yet, and they would still take him with that pick.
Yeah, they would just
be like, hey, we got you in the future.
Hey, you ever heard of Eli Manning? You know what happened to him? We got you.
Dude, you see Danny Dimes over there? We're not so confident in him. I don't know how you got the nickname Danny Dimes in the discussion earlier.
Do you want a QB sneak from your own goal line?
We're talking about that later.
You will be able to QB sneak as much as you want.
I do want to mention a couple non-football related notes from this game. The Katy Perry halftime show was insanity. I don't want to be the guy that's like, hey, kids are watching this, guys. But Katie, kids are watching. It was – there was, like, under boob. And at the very end, she just grabbed her crotch. Like, right in front of the camera. It was – I mean, I understand why the Super Bowl halftime shows were The Who and, like, these old-ass bands for so long. Because we had crotch grabbage. And I think that might be where it goes from PG to PG-13 at that point.
It wasn't a family-friendly show from Katy Perry.
A family show. ESPN, be ashamed of yourselves, really.
She's obviously known for her family-friendliness, so it was kind of disappointing from Katy Perry to see this display, if I'm being completely honest. Like, there's kids watching. They probably weren't, because this game started so late. That's probably what they were banking on, is the fact that they started the national championship game at 8.
I mean, the half... No, well, it was 7 here, but the halftime show was... It was like, I mean, if it would have been your time, it would have been 10 o'clock. I mean, that's still, kids are up at that time.
Do you think there's any, like, I obviously understand, okay, that the NFL still plays meaningful games. Do you think national championship moving it to, like, a Saturday?
Yeah, seriously. I don't like it on a Monday. What is that?
I mean, this is a weird time. And, like, universities are starting classes. I mean, you know, like, you now have lost an entire first day of class.
Yeah.
Because, thanks NCAA, do you actually care about student-athletes, or is it athlete-students? Because, you know, people are missing this game, or missing their classes to watch this game on a Monday night. And I feel like it would just be so easy. The NFL doesn't need to play on Saturday. They could play all those games on Sunday like they usually do.
Or they could have saved it for a week when everyone is off of work and school.
Yeah.
I mean, was that bad to just put it on Martin Luther King Day as well? I don't know. Maybe that's disgraceful. I don't know. I don't know what's bad. I can't judge these things. I'm too white. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, good game, I guess. It was at least competitive until about the last 4 minutes or so. So we had a fun game, I would say, overall. Do you have any other notes? Do you want to jump into NFL talk now?
You know, Alabama's quarterback's making more money than I will ever make in my life, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and he's going to make a lot more the next couple years. Yeah, if you guys think – I mean, if you're taking solace in the fact that Bama didn't win this year, guess what? They're going to win it all next year. They have a Heisman Trophy quarterback that's a freshman. He's going to be there 2 more years. So, I mean, let's not celebrate too much. It's going to happen again. Alabama is inevitable as long as Nick Saban is there. And I'm sure they have an insane recruiting class coming in again this year, where they have 6'8" dudes who run a 4.40. It's gonna be fun.
Yes, most likely. So, Kellen, we will move on now, I suppose. And I think, should we tackle the NFL in maybe a little bit of an unconventional method for the Totally Unbiased Sports? It was Week 18. This was a pretty electric Week 18. Almost all you could ask for. So I think let's kind of start at the least significant NFL games.
Definitely. I mean, we can really only – I mean, there's only like 3 or 4 we really need to talk about if you just want to talk about those.
We can. I just want to mention like one game that was not really super significant but was kind of significant. The Minnesota Vikings beat the Chicago Bears 31-17. Kellen, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean to you right now because – Chicago Bears got an ultimate win today. I'm going to ask you this question right now, and I've asked you this multiple times throughout the course of the year. Kellen, is Matt Nagy the head coach of the Chicago Bears right now?
He is not. Thank you for asking that, because that genuinely brought a smile to my face right there.
Oh, I saw
it. The bad man is gone. Ryan Pace is gone as well. He's not as bad as Nagy, but he had to go too. I was on cloud 9 when I saw that news. It was beautiful, and it can only last so long. And for Bears fans, it apparently can only last less than a day. So I wanted to talk about this because immediately after the firing, George McCaskey, the grandson of George Halas, holds a press conference, you know, saying, hey, we let go of our coach, let go of our GM. That's typical stuff. But it is it was the worst press conference that I've seen since the Bears made their last terrible press conference, which is maybe 3 weeks ago. It was bad though. It was bad. It included things like this was a headline earlier in the week. Olin Krutz, one of the greatest offensive linemen in not only Bears history, but NFL history. He was offered a job by the Chicago Bears where he would become a coach for the team. And he said that the Bears offered him $15 an hour to coach the team. This is a guy who played for the team for over a decade. It is a sure future Hall of Famer. And you're offering him $15 an hour when he already has the job on TV for NBC Chicago. Like, he's getting paid way more than that to talk about how bad the Bears are. So in the press conference, George McCaskey first denies this. He calls Olin Krutz a Chicago Bears legend, a liar. And then Olin Krutz proceeds to pull up receipts proving that they offered him. So he's not a liar. He's not a liar. So I don't know why he did that. That has nothing to do with what with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace getting fired, but it just shows how abysmal this franchise is, because I can't even celebrate the bad men being gone for that long. And on top of that, George McCaskey says, I'm not a football guy. I'm just a football fan. The owner, I mean, the son of the owner, but pretty much the owner of the team. I'm just a football fan. I don't know football. And then proceeds to say, I will be in charge of the GM search and the head coaching search as not a football guy. So that's fun already. And it just sickens me. This is the grandson of George Halas, the man who invented the National Football League. His grandpa invented football, pretty much. He invented primetime football. He invented what we talk about all the time. And he and his grandson walks up and goes, I'm not a football guy. I don't understand this shit at all. Like, what am I doing up here? That is disgusting to me. You should, like, bleed football. And he's just some nerdy dude with the worst mustache of all time. He looks like a Bond villain, but, like, one early in the film where he's just not unique in any way, and he just gets offed, like, 2 minutes into the movie. That's where I'm headed. I'm all in on Jim Harbaugh and Vic Fangio coming back to Chicago. Let's make that happen. And then everything will kind of be okay for me. So
right.
I was up. I'm down. I'm level now. That's where I'm at with the Chicago Bears. Mike Zimmer also got fired. So both coaches that coached in this game got fired.
Yeah. No, Black Monday, baby. I love Black Monday.
I got called racist today for saying Black Monday by Tuck. Who's just trying to pick an argument with me. But I still got called racist for it.
Wait, what's Tuck's NFL team?
What?
What's Tuck's NFL team?
He doesn't... Well, if he had one, it's the Falcons. So, well, but he didn't really have one. Yeah.
Cute look for him. 28-3. That's all I guess.
Thank you. Put him in his place real quick.
Wait. So it was pretty unbearable being with him tonight, wasn't it?
No, he hates Georgia.
He does hate Georgia.
He's a Florida football fan, actually.
Yes, I forgot. I'm sorry. I should know that. I should have remembered that.
Yeah.
By
the way, Tuck thinks that you're banning him from the podcast. He thinks you're scared to have him on again.
Because he hasn't come on again?
Yeah. I invited him on to come tonight.
Kellen, ask me, have I told him no?
No. Yeah. So exactly. We're calling Tuck out on the show right now. Quit being a coward and come on the show already.
That's a cute look for you. He just doesn't. There's a hole in his bucket.
He literally just texted me right now. Like, he's awake. He could be on the show right now. I invited him. He says no.
No, he's a coward.
Yeah.
All right. Should we get into this, Kellen? Should we get into the magic that is week 18?
Well, one more thing. Just before we do get into the magic. Is another game that didn't matter, but also matters a little bit in a different way, is the Giants and the Washington football team.
This was part of the magic. This was part of the
first game. Okay, so we'll start. This is magical.
This was the first game of the magic. Okay, week 18 did not disappoint anybody at all. I'm sorry. If you're disappointed in week 18, well, then
you don't like football.
You don't like football. Your team probably got eliminated. The magic started. The Washington football team played the New York football Giants. Did you see I had a lot of teams swelling around for my fan base of the week. One of them, an early candidate, were New York football fans. I don't know if you saw this. There's a lawsuit against the Giants and the Jets for calling themselves the New York Giants and the New York Jets while playing in New Jersey. some New York fan was irate enough before this game. This is before this game. I don't know if he's more of a Jets fan or if he's more of a Giants fan. Whatever. He's a fan of New York football. He's suing the team for playing in New Jersey while calling himself New York. That's so they were an early candidate. Then we get this. The New York Football Giants. Have you ever seen anything like this in your entire life, Kellen?
You're talking about one specific play here, right?
We're young. Two plays, back to back.
Two plays, yes.
Two plays, back to back. Okay, Kellen, we've played a lot of Madden. We're pretty good at. We've played some Madden in our day.
You're about to say we're pretty good. We're not good.
Let me give you a scenario, Kellen. I want you to tell me what play you're calling here. Okay, yeah. You have the entire playbook. No, ask Madden. We're not asking Madden here.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you even have to ask me what play I'm calling here?
I'm going to test you because there's maybe two plays that you could call. I'm going to see if it's
Only one play I call the whole game in Madden.
So I'm hoping it's the same play that I call every time in Madden.
Okay.
So you're on your own, like, 2-yard line, we'll say.
Yeah.
What play are you calling from your own 2-yard line?
Well, I'm calling four verts, baby. Four verts. That's my play.
It's four verts. Yeah. So imagine if Matt. Don't do this because it's disrespectful to John Madden. In 2 years, his version of Madden, because next year is obviously going to be the John Madden version. In 2 years, add an Ask Joe Judge instead of Ask Madden.
Oh, just give you the.
Add that feature just for the Giants. When you're playing the Giants, if you decide to play the Giants, you get Ask Joe Judge instead. It's going to be a quarterback sneak every single time.
Yeah.
It's always four verts. The answer's always four verts.
Always.
It's four verts or a fake punt, and that's it. Yeah.
It's that, and like here's the thing. It's the scenario that he ran in. He ran a QB sneak on second down. The ball was at like the 4 or 5 yard line on 3rd and 9.
Yeah.
And he runs a QB sneak again, and the defense saw it coming. Like, yeah. I mean first off, the season doesn't matter. So why are you worried about getting a safety? You might as well. Just run something that could lead to a first down. Just a first down. That's all Giants fans were asking for there. Or just make an effort to get the first down. You don't even have to get it. Just run a play where it's possible. That's the thing. He's not even running plays where it's possible to be successful. This man is keeping his job. Brian Flores of the Miami Dolphins got fired today. And he's the first Dolphins coach since 2002, 2003 to have back-to-back winning seasons, and he got fired. And Joe Judge is keeping his job. Now, I'm not saying Brian Flores is a great coach or anything. He's been successful.
No, that's just putting it in perspective.
Yeah, but I also think Dolphins fans were way overreacting because they were acting like they just fired a top-5 coach in the NFL. I think Brian Flores was one bad season, which could have been next year, away from getting fired. So, yeah. Well, apparently he was one – average season away from getting fired.
Does that save the Dolphins anything really though?
No, they've been terrible at head coach for the last couple of years. You might as well have some consistency, and he seems to be a guy that people like too. So I don't really understand that. But Joe Judge still has a job, which means we still have one more year of talking about the guy at least. Dave Gettleman retired. He's the Giants GM.
Yeah,
the new GM is going to come in with. Not one hand behind his like tied behind his back, but both because they have to keep Daniel Jones too.
And one foot.
Well, yeah, because they have Saquon as their running back, and he sucks too. They're so bad. They're abysmal.
I gotta ask. Did you see the Giants fan that wore a paper bag with a Pepsi bottle
taped? Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Yes.
A paper bag and taped. Pepsi bottle to it.
I love that. I love that so much. Because I'm kind of getting sick of the paper bag thing, but if you make it mean something on top of that, that's good. If you don't understand that, listen to our last episode.
Yeah, that was just a great moment for sports right there.
Yeah. Man, I mean, I think the Giants are in a worse position going forward than the Jets. And the Jags. I think they're in the worst position in the NFL because they committed to two guys that are duds. They're not gonna move them forward. They're only gonna delay their rebuild an extra year.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of sad.
Oh, it's pathetic. It's an absolutely disgusting thing to see from.
But I'm a Bears fan, so I can't be too happy. You saw how depressed I was earlier in this episode.
Yeah, but I mean, the Bears are possibly back.
Maybe. Hey, we're Jim Harbaugh and Vic Fangio away from being back. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Another team that was seemingly in a terrible position, but now has a little momentum going into next year, and is the team that completely changed the first NFL Week 18, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They played the Indianapolis Colts in Jacksonville.
Pause.
The worst team in the NFL. The Jacksonville Jaguars have the number one pick in the NFL draft. They are, congratulations, you are the worst team in the NFL. Indianapolis is a and get in. They are a win away from the playoffs.
Can we just stop real quick?
Let's stop.
Can you please read the listeners the text I sent you on Saturday night?
Let's see. I forget the text, but me and Josh specifically, we were Jacksonville Jaguars fans.
I would like you to just scroll back and give me a quick recap of what I texted you on Saturday night. This is obviously before the Jacksonville Jaguars played the Indianapolis Colts. It's before anything happened on Sunday. It was when you might remember the Pittsburgh Steelers had a 10% chance to make the playoffs. 9% if you ask ESPN.
First message Josh sends me, I'm feeling good about Jacksonville. I say why. He says a bottle of wine. And then he sends me top 25 plays in Jacksonville Jaguars history. I tell him I'm all in too. Spreads 14.5. Doesn't matter. We were all in on Jacksonville. Josh started it. Our faith, specifically Josh's faith in Jacksonville, willed them to win this football game.
Yeah.
Their own fans were showing up in clown wigs, clown costumes, embarrassed of this franchise, expecting a loss, expecting the number one pick. They got the win, and they were rewarded the number one pick. That's beautiful. That's poetry.
You know who wasn't ashamed? The person that's been heartbroken by these Jags many times.
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah.
Been heartbroken. And I believed in them. And you know what? I honestly, I did think about this. Yes, I did say it was just a bottle of wine. Okay, but I did actually kind of think about this. Here's where I was. Can you name me one game that Carson Wentz has played in that he's done well that it's a big game?
No. You can't, because it's never happened.
That's number one. Can you tell me when the Colts last played clutch?
No. And I mean, I don't want to bring it up, but no.
Exactly. The last time, I mean, they had one good moment that was flanked by a shoestring tackle by Big Ben and an interception by Peyton Manning that won the Saints the Super Bowl. That's all we need to talk about there.
Yeah.
Okay. Colts don't have nice things.
If you're the Colts, first off, how do you lose that game? And just like look at it, like the gap between the team that has the number one pick and a playoff team is immense. And the Colts seem to be like one of the hotter teams going into the playoffs too.
Go back and listen to a couple episodes ago. I said the Colts were going to win the Super Bowl.
Like I remember the Bears who won three games a couple years ago. That Bears team blew out the Browns, who had the number one pick that year.
Yeah.
That's a 3-win Bears team. And it's like, you can't lose that game as a playoff team, especially a win and get in. I mean, that is the worst loss in the Colts franchise. Yeah. That's worse than their Super Bowl loss.
Oh, it was completely worse. And I mean, I'm going to watch Hard. I haven't watched a single episode of Hard Knocks. I'm watching the next episode of Hard Knocks for sure.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
But anyway, so that's the one reason. Okay, Carson Wentz never shown up for anything. Okay, Colts are cocky. Another reason. I kind of bought into the Colts. That's another reason. And then if you start thinking about it a little bit more, Colts haven't won in Jacksonville in like 7 consecutive games. It's been like 7 years. Five.
Now it's 6.
It's 6 years. Whatever. They haven't won in 6 years in Jacksonville. You got to think that's going to break. You run Taylor, right? Like, you run Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
The entire game, and it works out.
Like, why are you putting your fate in the hands of Carson Wentz?
I know. I don't understand. And then the last thing that I kind of thought about was there was a lot of news about, you mentioned the clown wigs, you mentioned the you know, antics that the fans were going to come out with. It's also week 18. Do they have a head coach right now? They have an interim head coach. This is his last chance to state his case for keeping a head coaching job.
Which he will not.
These are all things. Okay, but these are all things that I'm thinking about. This is the last chance for him to prove that he has a chance. I learned after the game, he used to coach with Mike Tomlin. I learned that after the game.
There you go.
That's just a cool tidbit. I didn't know this. I had no idea about this. But whatever. So that happened. I'm going to kind of blend permission to blend into the game that mattered.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking this in like chronological order. Yeah. Let's ease into the next
one. Jacksonville Jaguars 26, Indianapolis Colts 11. Okay, that's the final score. Obviously, I'm the veteran fan. Two TV system for this game. That's a no-brainer. Two TV system. I've got the game that I thought was going to cause me the more stress is on the small TV. I have Jacksonville and Indianapolis. Okay. I don't know what happened to me. I had the utmost confidence in the Steelers too. I had no like, Steelers might screw this up. No, I was like, Steelers fine. They're going to win this game. I was like, and in my mind, how this played out was the Steelers game goes final. The Steelers win. And Jacksonville needs to do something in the last 2 minutes, and CBS cuts the game over, and everyone's watching, and like, this is it. This is the Steelers' chance. No, Jacksonville annihilates the Colts. And if you want, we don't have to read my texts, but I did text during this the first quarter. I said, I think we should just end the games now. Yeah. I fully thought, I did believe in the Jags. I fully thought the Jags were going to blow it, though, until the fourth. I would say the 8-minute mark of the fourth quarter is when I knew that the Jags won the game.
Mm-hmm.
When did you get the feeling, like, when did you know the Jags won the game?
Dude, in the first quarter, I had a feeling. It's just like, once they went up 10-0, I was like, I mean, the Colts, they're not playing right. They're not giving the ball to Taylor enough. And their offensive line, which has been a big strength for them, was getting gashed early.
Josh Allen had a big game.
Yeah. So it's like, it just kind of, I don't know if I knew it was, I mean, I obviously didn't know it was over, but you just kind of had the feeling right away in that game. Like, I don't know what it was, but it seemed like everybody was disappointed going into this week because it was just like, well, if Indianapolis wins, which they're going to, nothing's going to be fun because there's no important games. But just like something crazy has to happen. Like this always happens.
It's a first week 18. We got to have some.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching it. And if I was not a Steelers fan, I would have been like you. And I would have been like, okay, the Jags won this game. But me, in the back of my mind, I'm like, there's absolutely no way the Jags are going to win this game. It's going to hurt me. I was like, I'm going to get hurt today. I knew I was going to get hurt today. So the Steelers played the most Steelers-Ravens game in the history of ever. It's Big Ben's last rivalry game that he's going to play. Yeah. Absolutely. Can you name me a quarterback that's had more last games than Big Ben?
No. I mean, maybe Brett Favre. I don't know if that counts.
But Favre retired like 6 times.
Exactly.
He's retiring once, and he's had... He's going to have so many... He's going to have so many last games. I feel like every time he's dead, he's just not dead. He's like, what do you mean? Like, no, I got another game. And so anyway, I'm watching this and I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's go, Ben. Let's go. It's 3-0. The game is just a drag. TJ Watt's insane. The NFL's reviewing this right now, but TJ Watt should get an extra half sack. We got absolutely hosed by the refs. I'm not going to go into that because, as I mentioned before, I'm not the fan that's going to blame the officiating for my team losing. Like, I don't know. That's happened sometimes. Some people do that. I'm not going to blame.
I do that about every week on the podcast.
I'm not going to blame officials. I'm not going to. And Steelers end up going into overtime, which just made me want to vomit. I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to lose. We get a classic Big Ben moment. This is the way for Ben to go out, though. This was a classic Big Ben moment. He leads not only one game-winning drive, but two game-winning drives in the same game. He leads the one that goes in that ends up in a touchdown to Chase Claypool, that then the Ravens come and tie it. That was the first game winning drive for Big Ben. And the second one was Chris Boswell kicking a field goal to go ahead. The Steelers going for it, I almost had a heart attack. They went for it on fourth down. And I didn't talk about this last week. Ray-Ray McCloud has gotten targeted way too many times, and he keeps dropping the ball. He gets targeted in the biggest possession of possibly Big Ben, his life.
Yeah.
Not Big Ben's life, but the biggest position of his life, and he catches it, goes on. Steelers end up winning. Najee Harris, I'd like to talk about. I have two people I need to talk about real quick, and then we'll move on from this game into the next game, because I really don't want to dwell on the Steelers that much, because this game wasn't the one that mattered. Chase Claypool. We all know him from Minnesota celebrating. The first half, if you got on Twitter, this dude was getting gashed on Twitter, because there were multiple plays where he didn't step off the line of scrimmage. After the ball was snapped, ooh, he didn't get downfield at all. So he's getting ripped to shreds. And I'm like, what is going on with Chase? Chase Claypool made the most important block in the 2020 Pittsburgh Steelers.
On that Najee Harris run.
On the Najee Harris run.
Yeah.
Najee Harris starts bumping it out. You can see, go watch the replay if you don't remember this. This will forever be ingrained in my mind. The camera flips to the view of Najee Harris running towards it, and you can see Chase Claypool, and they're both in frame. They're both in frame, and Chase is not moving, and then you see it click, and Chase Claypool puts his head down and gets in front of Najee, throws a block so that Najee can get into field goal range, and it was just everything came together right there. Chase Claypool caught the pass that put them ahead in the first place, caught Big Ben's first game-winning drive, and then he laid a massive block. And that's the one play. People aren't really talking about that play. There's a few plays in this game that people aren't talking about. I'm not going to bog everyone down. Just go look up Steelers Twitter, and everyone's going to be telling you what the play was that actually made the difference. In my mind, Chase Claypool recognizing right there that he needed to put his head down and lay a block, that was an underrated play. Big Ben looked really good for what Big Ben is. Like, he made the big time plays. That's all you can ask from him. And the Steelers were going to the playoffs. I mean, you called me. I was ecstatic.
Yeah.
Steelers going to the playoffs. And then you did the stupidest thing that has ever happened. And you were like, hey, so what if there's a tie tonight? And also, okay, let's go back for those of you who might not know. For the Steelers to make the playoffs, they had a 9% chance, according to ESPN. They needed to beat Baltimore. Jacksonville needed to beat Indianapolis. And Sunday Night Football, the Chargers and the Raiders needed to end in anything but a tie.
Yeah. And two of those three things had been accomplished heading into Sunday Night Football.
Yes. What's the least likely thing there that you think is going to happen?
A tie. A tie. Because on average, it happens maybe once a year.
Yeah,
maybe. And the Steelers had already had that tie, so we were feeling good. There's not another one coming.
I was feeling good. My dad calls me at like 6 o'clock, and he's like, I was laying in bed. I was resting after this game. He's like, what are you doing? You're like, why aren't you excited? I'm like, it's 2 hours after the game. I'm exhausted. Like, I've been going all day. Like, I'm exhausted. And he's like, they just can't end the tie. And he's like, they're not going to end the tie. There's no way. And I was like, I mean, they could kneel the ball out. Like,
yeah.
Did you think there was a chance? Did you think there was a chance of them like playing for a tie, kneeling it out?
So this game, the Raiders Chargers game, to me, it kind of felt like maybe at first both teams were like, hey, you know, maybe we both play for a tie, and they're like, okay, maybe we do that. It just felt like two friends where they're like kind of like joking around with each other, and then like somebody like says something that actually like hits too close to home, and then they just start going in on each other. Like, oh, Raiders, we'll play passive, run the ball a lot, same with Chargers. And it's just like, oh, well, you just broke that for a big play. You weren't supposed to do that. Like, okay, well, now I'm going to try to score a touchdown here. Like, hey, you went for it on 4th and 1 from your own 20. You didn't get it, but you're not supposed to do that. Like, what is this? So it just felt like they kept up in the ante, and then both teams were like, okay, now it's on. And then it got to overtime, and then they started getting passive again. It's like, okay, let's settle down. then Brandon Staley calls one of the dumbest timeouts ever.
Yeah.
And Raiders run the ball, get it into field goal range. They win the game. But, I mean, on the night, I texted you this. On the night that Bob Saget dies, rest in peace, America's dad, RIP.
We've had three deaths the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just brutal. Maybe I'm going to have to play See You Again.
Really? Yeah. And actually mean it. But on the night that he dies, my Twitter feed is only about a regular season football game, maybe ending in a tie. And everybody wanted that to happen. And when I called you after the game, I was just like, oh, congrats. This is awesome. This is awesome. What if it ends in a tie? And you immediately go, like, you're ecstatic. And immediately, straight face, you're like, if it ends in a tie, I will legitimately commit suicide. And I was like, okay, I felt that one. I think he means it.
Like,
I told people in my group message that you said that, and immediately everybody is just jockeying to be the next co-host of Totally Unbiased Sports.
Obviously they are. I mean,
there's going to be an open position here. Josh is going to be dead.
It's a coveted position, and like, I mean, you mentioned how the game. Like, did you watch this entire game? Or
yeah.
Okay. So let me put you through my night. I'm not saying that this was an emotional night for me. Yeah, I go over to my friend's house. We watch The Hitman's Bodyguard's Wife, right?
How was it? I've only seen the first one.
Really pretty good. Ryan Reynolds, Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
Samuel Jackson.
Gotcha.
Anything else? Amazing. Okay. So I know that we're going to watch this movie. It's going to end right about, halftime. I'll get home, halftime of the game, end of the second quarter, halftime. I'm like, okay, whatever. I just need to see no tie. I turn the game on my TV, okay? I get into bed. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm going to stay up. I'm going to watch it for a little bit. Okay. Las Vegas has a 15-point lead. I go, okay, sound off. I'm going to leave the TV on. I'm going to roll over. I'm going to try and get some sleep. I had a pretty big day at work. I had a pretty big day at work coming up today. So I was like, I should probably get some sleep because I have a very, very big day coming up today where I was going to possibly I was going to have a conversation that was going to go favorably for me.
Yeah.
So I was like, big day at work tomorrow. I got to get out. Turn the sound down. I roll over. 12-point game.
Uh-oh.
I check my phone. I have Schefter tweet notifications on. Adam Schefter tweets something. I'm not going to read this word for word. It was something along the lines of, with the 12-point lead, the Steelers are poised for a playoff berth. And without swearing on this podcast, I thought, oh, crap.
What a moron.
That was, I mean, that was the moment that I was like, I was beside myself. I turned the sound back on. I sat up in bed. I was like, we're watching this game. And do you remember a time that a team has made more fourth down conversions on over 7 yards than the Chargers?
No, it was only on those plays. It was unreal how little they were getting on first through third down.
They couldn't do anything in this fourth down and everyone's open. And it was so hard to watch because I'm just like, oh my God. And there's the football guy part of me where I'm just like, I love football. Okay. Like, I absolutely love the sport of football, and I'm like, this is one of the greatest football games I've ever watched. And then there's the Pittsburgh Steelers fan part of me where I'm like, this is the most miserable thing I've ever been a part of. And I'm like, it can't end in a tie. There's no way this ends in a tie. Meanwhile, I mentioned the conversation with my dad. My dad went to bed because he didn't think there was any chance this ends in a tie.
Goodness. Yeah.
So I'm texting our smart family group. I'm texting our family group chat. I'm like, God, this isn't good. This isn't good. Like, this is so bad. Like, I was like, I cannot believe it. I'm beside myself. And with 5 seconds left, Justin Herbert drops back. As the clock hits zero, the ball's caught in the end zone to send it to overtime. And yeah. I think you texted me at this point. I was just like, oh, my God, this is going to happen. I go downstairs. I'm now watching on my couch. I felt like the need that I needed to go get hammered. Like, I didn't know. Like, I might, that might have turned me into a brief alcoholic for a little bit. Like, I don't know what was happening.
Well, the overtime had to be so weird for you because it's like immediately you're cheering for a Raiders touchdown because you're like, okay, yeah. I don't have to worry about this.
once they get the field goal, you're cheering for the Raiders to make a stop until they make it past the 50-yard line. And then in that case, you're cheering for the Chargers to score touchdowns. Like, you're just flipping back and forth between teams. You just want a result that isn't a tie.
No, it was just a miserable time for me. And I just didn't know what to do. I was like, God, this sucks. And so, yeah, I was like, anything but a tie, anything but a tie. And as it crept, it was like, it's going to be a tie. It's going to be a tie. It's going to be a tie. The Raiders get the ball back. They move down the field. I've never cheered for a quarterback other than Big Ben harder than I cheered for Derek Carr right there. Like, I'm sorry. I know we hate him on this podcast. I know he's a bully.
No, we're happy he won because that protects the children of the Las Vegas area.
Yes, I was cheering for him to be a bully to the Chargers. And he goes down, and it gets down. It was like 35 seconds left, and this is where I had the genuine heart attack. Sorry, side note. Chris Collinsworth needs to be fired. This man, I'm sorry. We've said it a lot. I don't know that there's an announcer that actively roots against one franchise, a national announcer that actively roots against one franchise more than Chris Collinsworth does the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He's a Bengal.
He still hates them from his playing days. Yeah. The man makes a comment about women in Pittsburgh like, oh, yeah, well, that's insane that they actually know sports. Like, you'd be surprised that they kind of know football there or something like that. He made that comment a couple years ago. And then this man, every chance he got, goes, huh, wouldn't it be crazy if this ended in a tie and the Steelers didn't make it? What do you think?
He was just building. He was building the story.
What do you think Ben's doing right now? Do you think Ben's asleep? And I'm just like, shut up. And then there's two Steelers fans at the Las Vegas versus the Chargers game sitting in the second row.
Yeah, you can't show up in Steelers gear to that game. And not with a tie looming. You got to take your jerseys off.
And they keep showing him, and they're like, hey, what if this ended in a tie? That would be crazy.
Dude, their car, he's been kind of clutch on game-winning drives lately.
Clutch.
Is he an actual good quarterback? I mean, I know we're talking about the tie, but
he's playing in his first playoff game. I'll tell you after his playoff game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he got them to another playoff game. He just broke his leg before.
Well, I mean, got to be healthy to be good. That's all I got to say.
His leg snapped in half.
Sucks, dude.
That sucks. Maybe you shouldn't have had your leg there.
There is a precedent on this podcast for me not caring about leg injuries.
It's literally like not supposed to get broken, dude. Like, just try to not do that. Are you stupid or are you dumb?
And there's a pretty big precedent of me not respecting leg injuries on this podcast.
Yeah, so, no, I know. Yeah.
So we can go there.
But we were talking good about Derek Carr. You know, we're Derek Carr guys now, for now, I guess, right?
Derek Carr made one of my favorite plays I've ever seen in football.
Yeah, so, we're anti-bully, so I guess we can't be pro-Derek Carr.
Yeah, we're anti-bullying. I was pro-Derek Carr's football play at the end of the game.
It is kind of bad that we're anti-Derek Carr because we say he's a high school bully. Because he might be, like, he kind of seems like a nice guy. I'm not going to say he is. It's just a facade.
He seems like a nice guy, but he looks like a bad guy.
Yeah,
so
he wears mascara. I mean,
yeah. So what are you going to go with? Let's rehash the little drama here and then we can move on. We'll move on past this. 35 seconds left. The Raiders run the football. And with about a minute left, NBC, of course, cuts to the Steelers fans, and the Steelers fan, I think, mouths something like, just call a timeout. Someone call a timeout. Both teams have two timeouts. The Raiders are at it's a 60-yard field goal. I think they're, what, a 50-yard line? It's like about a 60-yard field goal, somewhere like that. And the Raiders do a run play. The clock's ticking, and the Chargers call a timeout.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe they thought – I mean, they obviously didn't think that they were going to take a knee there. They wanted to get the ball back in case they hit the field goal. That was Brandon Staley's logic to it. But you saw after the game, the Raiders player told Austin Eckler, we were going to take a knee. That sucks. That sucks here.
And that's
That's basically, I mean, that's the game. I mean, Carlson hits like a 40-something yard field goal to win it, and that's it.
The Raiders come out with a run play after that, and Derek Carr, say what you want about the man, we hate him. That man had to know the camera was on him, and he waited and waited and waited and waited to give everybody. He hates Pittsburgh. Everyone knows he hates Pittsburgh. He grew up a Raiders fan. He hates the Immaculate Reception. Okay. He waits till 2 seconds to call that timeout. There has not been a more glorious sight since Santonio Holmes' 2 feet tap the end zone than Derek Carr calling timeout there.
Yeah, except when that ball went through the uprights, probably.
Yeah, and then the ball went through the uprights.
Yeah.
That's where I was at. It was crazy. I couldn't believe what I had just watched. And got to ask a question. NFL rigged, Kellen?
NFL is not rigged, apparently. Not as much as the NBA. I mean, if it ended in a tie, we would have been all in on the rigged train. NFL is not rigged unless Aaron Rodgers is involved in the game. In that case, 100% rigged. 120% rigged. Yes. But, man, what an end to Week 18.
Yeah. And I guess my final question for you is, the Chargers and Raiders are divisional foes, correct?
Correct.
Can you imagine this happening in the NFC North or the AFC North? Imagine, this wouldn't be a question. I feel like if this happened between, the Steelers or Ravens,
no, yeah, they're going for the throat.
If this is the Bears and Packers, okay?
Bears and anyone. Packers and anyone. Lions and anyone. Vikings and anyone. They're all going for the throat. We got a bunch of sissies living out west.
I was like, why is this a question? At first, I was like, okay, why wouldn't they? And then I realized, I'm like, wait, they play in the same division.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be a question in any other division. Can you imagine the Patriots and the Bills? That's not a question if the Patriots are playing the Bills. They want to kill each other.
Yeah.
Why is this even a question? And I guess that's honestly my
life. The prisoner's paradox should not exist in the NFL. Absolutely not. I'm glad we didn't get a tie. Would have been funny if it was a tie and neither team wanted it to be a tie. No offense, Josh. Objectively funny. But it wasn't. And now we know the NFL for now is not rigged until we see what happens with the Packers in the playoffs.
Yeah. So I guess this is now let's move on past Week 18. We've got the playoff matchup set. Let's go through them real quick.
Okay.
Give me some predictions here. Okay. We'll start AFC, whatever. Chiefs Steelers. You don't have to be nice to me. Chiefs Steelers.
Dude, Big Ben victory tour. We're all in, dude. I'm with you. I'm with you. Or ride or die.
Sounds good. Sweet.
Okay.
It's kind of where I mean, obviously, I can't pick against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to say this right now. I'm just happy. Please remind me of the joy I have right now next week on Monday. Remind me of the joy I have right now that Big Ben's playing another football game.
Okay. Gotcha.
Remind me that
What's the next matchup? We've had enough Big Ben talk the last 2 weeks.
Bills Patriots.
I got Bills. I don't like the way the Patriots have played the last couple weeks. I know that it seemed like the Bills. What I don't like about this is, for the Bills, is it seemed like they finally beat the boogeyman, only to face them 2 weeks later. You give the Patriots a shot of redemption. I go against Bill Belichick. Not a huge fan of that. But I also do not like the way that Mac Jones has been playing the last couple weeks. I think the Patriots have not been playing that good of football lately.
That's exactly where I'm at logically.
Yeah.
I hate this. I think the Patriots are somehow going to win.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see it happening. It feels like it.
We have to disagree somewhere, so we're going to disagree. I want the Bills to win. Do not get me wrong. I would love the Bills to win this football game. I think it would be almost too picture perfect for the NFL. If we're going to just keep throwing the chaos into this, Patriots win. Next game, Bengals Raiders. The Bengals have never won a playoff game since text messaging has existed. No one's ever sent a text regarding a Bengals playoff win. Do they get over the hump here against the Raiders?
I like the Bengals. I think they're very talented. I think they're more talented than the Raiders. But I've also liked the way the Raiders have rallied since, I mean, really it seemed like their season was over. They're using an interim head coach. They have a receiver get arrested. They had another guy get a DUI and get arrested. But to me, it feels like the Bengals have been playing too hot lately, even though they lost to the Browns this week. Nobody started that mattered for them. And this is like right around the time where they start to plummet in the season. Like they it's been very much peaks and valleys for them all year. I think they're about to valley. This is a lot of their best players' first career playoff game. So I got the Raiders.
I do also think that the Raiders might be able to take this emotional high. I agree with you. The Bengals are a very, very good football team. I just don't. Again, I don't know if they can handle the pressure and handle the moment. They might. They. I feel like the Raiders either win or they get blown out, and there's not going to be any. Like, if it's a close game, I think the Raiders win.
Yeah, I agree.
That's kind of how I feel. Okay. Number one seed is the Tennessee Titans. Who are we saying has the best chance to beat them? Provided the Steelers, who haven't lost to them since 2007 when they stomped on the terrible towel, lose.
Definitely Kansas City. If Kansas City somehow makes it past Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I think if KC wins, I mean, they were a Titans loss away from being the one seed, and the Titans kind of struggled with the Texans. We'll see. We'll see how healthy Derrick Henry is. That's going to be a huge difference maker, because if they can just control the clock throughout the playoffs, they're going to be really tough to beat, because their defense is so much better this year than it was in previous years.
So Tennessee Titans, I'm going number one seed. They're making the Super Bowl.
They're not making the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Let's move to the NFC. Number one seed. Are they making the Super Bowl?
They're not making the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Now let's go to the number two versus number seven matchup. And this one's intriguing to me. I obviously hate the one city. I hate both cities. Well, I have a burning hatred against one city. I hate players on the other city. The Bucs versus the Eagles. 2-7.
Yeah.
What do you think here? Because I think this is a pretty intriguing matchup. Jalen Hurts has been playing pretty good. The Eagles have looked decent. They've looked like they've been resembling a football team. Do we think an upset maybe?
I think this is a bad matchup for the Eagles. I mean, it does stink that not for us, but for the Buccaneers, that they're out two of their best receivers in Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown for very different reasons. But they still have enough in the receiving game to beat Philly. It's not like Tom Brady has dealt with, you know, some bad receivers, just like scrappy white receivers before in his career. Yeah. That's pretty much his whole time in New England. He's a pretty veteran quarterback. It's just a bad matchup for Philly because if you want to beat Tampa, you got to pass the ball, and they really their game is running the ball, and that's where Tampa's strength is on defense. They really don't have a secondary. So I don't see the Eagles scoring enough points to even really make it a game.
I do honestly agree with you. I think if the Eagles drew anyone else in the NFC, they probably win.
Yeah, I mean, they've been playing good football, and they control the ball really well.
It's just a tough matchup for how they play. Now, next game, Cowboys 49ers. Is this where the Cowboys choke?
Could be. Could definitely be. The 49ers are such a tough team. And so much of this falls on Jimmy G, though.
I think I need to know the line for this game and how much the Cowboys are favorited.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they have to be huge favorites for the choke to really take effect.
But it just feels like the Cowboys, I mean, you've been wanting them to start playing their best football for a while. And they had that huge game against Washington, which was good.
Yeah.
But it just
since week two.
Yeah, they haven't strung together a couple good games in a row since the very beginning of the season. And I mean,
the 49ers are such a tough team to beat. Even with their record, they're gonna give you fits no matter what.
Oh, I agree with you. But
what do we got next?
Okay, I got a couple of final questions, and we'll move on to our segments. This is just relating, possibly the most entertaining game of the weekend, because this one, good luck predicting anything that happens in this game. The Rams are playing the Cardinals.
Yeah, no idea.
Is this a Nickelodeon game? Do we know? What's the Nickelodeon game? Because this should be in... No, it's the...
It's 49ers and Cowboys Nickelodeon game.
This should be the Nickelodeon game.
Yeah. So I mean, this game is for the kids. This is for sure for the kids. This isn't going to be between the trenches football.
This is going to get weird in a family-friendly
way. And you have the cutest player in the NFL playing in this game in Kyler Murray. He's adorable. You also have a dude who trains with actual knives in Aaron Donald. Which is a little scarier and more intense, but I mean, this is all flash.
Oh, it's weird. It's weird.
It's a great coach versus a terrible coach. It's two really good offenses that can really just stall at times. Same with the defenses where they're very talented, but I mean, people put up points against them still. So I'm excited to watch this game. I have no idea what's going to happen. And both teams can win the Super Bowl, too.
Yeah, I know. Do we think... Okay, I guess don't predict who wins necessarily, because that's pretty insane. Does this game get impacted by the refs? Do the refs change the outcome of this game?
I don't think so. It just doesn't feel like two teams that, like, where one team gets screwed by the refs. Like, it's the Rams and the Cardinals. Who cares?
And out of these six matchups, Chiefs, Steelers, Bills, Patriots, Bengals, Raiders, Bucks, Eagles, Cowboys, Niners, and then obviously Rams, Cardinals, what game is going to get decided by officiating?
Cowboys, Niners. One team, I feel like, has to get screwed because two large fan bases, two historic teams, two all-time uniform matchups. There's going to be a moment that lives in controversial memory for us forever.
Yeah, I mean, that's really – I was kind of thinking that, and the other one I was thinking was the Bills getting screwed.
Yeah, yeah, that's
a good one. Those are really the only two options I can see in my mind. I don't think the other games are really going to come down to, like, you can blame one call. I feel like there's going to be enough – like, okay, if the Steelers lose, they're going to have shot themselves in the foot 1,000 times. If the Chiefs lose, they're probably going to have done something. Like, you know, I don't see it, but those games I can see just coming down to people being irate. So that's our playoff preview here. Do you have any other final notes, I guess, on the NFL?
I don't have any other notes. I think we could move into our questions now and then wrap it up with segments and call it a show.
Definitely do that.
So my question for you, this is pretty, I asked this for you after pretty much every major sporting event, but what was the food play tonight for you?
Tonight?
Yeah.
I haven't eaten anything since yesterday.
My goodness.
During the Steelers game.
Okay. Wow.
Yingling was my food tonight.
Yingling. Okay. That's always appropriate for a national championship.
I haven't eaten anything.
Okay. My next question for you is, what's your worst drunk order of all time?
Worst drunk order? Yeah, I've done some stupid things. I've ordered a lot of food before. And I would say probably the worst drunk order, I don't remember the amount of money, but I spent a pretty decent... It's not a decent amount, under $20. But I spent a lot of money at Taco Bell with one of my friends. Like, I was like, okay, if you take me to Taco Bell, like, I'll do this, this, and this. I paid someone a substantial amount of money to take me to Taco Bell, and I guess that's probably my biggest. And when I say substantial, I mean it's probably an actual meal at, like, any other place. But, like... I threw in an incentive to get Taco Bell when I was, you know, being responsible and not driving. So.
Yeah, I gotcha.
That was one of them. That's probably one of them. I guess anything Steelers last year probably was not completely sober for if they won. But other than that, I don't really know.
Yeah, for me, it's I don't think I ended up ever ordering stuff from them, but it was just I saw a Frank Thomas Nugenics ad when I and it was game over for me at that point. They're like text Strong to 861861. And I was like, Strong. And I was like, hey, where's Frank Thomas at? And I just had just a very extensive conversation asking Nugenics questions about Frank Thomas, to which they just replied with the same things. Like, order Nugenics now. That's so
absolute gold. I don't remember. I actually kind of had a similar thing. I don't remember. I think I was honestly probably sober for this. I was talking to one of my friends, and they just go, I think I was, it was on FaceTime. They go, hey, text whatever to whatever, you know. No, I'm getting like Nugenics texts. I don't know why I did it. They were just like, hey, text this number. And I was like, okay. And then I'm getting Nugenics texts. I didn't like.
It's not like that, I mean, it's yeah, they just got to put a friendly face on it. And me and Josh are sold, really. Like,
yeah.
If you put Frank Thomas on it, I'm sold on just about anything. Well, Benny's Beverage Depot? Are you kidding me?
Dude, come on. I've literally used Head and Shoulders for like 50 years. Because Troy Polamalu.
Polamalu!
Because he did a commercial. Like, are you kidding me?
I mean, yeah, it's so good. Like, Polamalu is such an impact that it deletes all the Clay Matthews commercials
we saw. I didn't even know he was in there. You could legitimately give me hard science. You could give me, like, a 600-page report on how Head & Shoulders is bad for me, and I will use it because Troy Polamalu.
What if I showed you my hairline and said this is years of Head & Shoulders? Doesn't matter?
Troy Polamalu, baby. He lined up Polamalu. The seat. Like...
That's sick. That's sick that you have a strong hairline.
It was embarrassing for Head & Shoulders. I think that they, like, that bar was set so high with Troy Polamalu that they had, like, coming down to, like, the short-haired guys, that was just such a tough look for them.
Yeah. I mean, it was such a high bar, they still keep Polamalu in the commercials, years after his retirement.
It was weird because they went through that phase where they didn't have him in any commercials, and then they realized, wait.
He has the best hair of all time.
These. Like, we can't have someone with no hair in these commercials. Where's Troy? Yeah. So. All
right. I mean, we can jump into our segments now. Do you have any questions for me, or you just want to move into these segments then?
I don't think I have any questions for you right now, actually. I've kind of gotten all of those out of the way a little bit.
All right. Let's go player of the week here.
So my player of the week, just a second. I need to get back to it. This one... I put a lot of thought into who my player of the week might end up being this week. There's been a lot. It was a big week in sports. And I just don't know. I want to get out of football for my player of the week. Evgeny Malkin's going to come back from injury this week.
There you go. Gino.
I'm going to give Gino. And it's not as much Gino coming back as... the fact that we're gonna get the whole like, oh, the Penguins are better without Gino debate is gonna come on. And the first time the Penguins lose, they're one of the hottest teams in the NHL right now. They did lose to the Stars the other day, but whatever. They had a 10-game win streak going into that. COVID's running wild on them. As soon as the Penguins lose, people are going to be like, well, the Penguins are better without Malkin. They should just trade him.
Been having this conversation for 15 years now. It's getting old.
It's literally one of my favorite things. My other player of the week that could be is also outside of football. It was Jack Hughes. I don't know if you saw what Jack Hughes said. Like, pretty big baby move on him. They asked him about his rookie season. He goes, I hated it. It's like you've got McDavid one night, then you got Marchand the next night, then Crosby the next night. People would call me some pretty boy hockey player that couldn't play. Well, that's called a professional sports league. You play the best athletes every single night. And if you're not good enough.
Well, you're not. He's a number one pick, former number one pick, right? He can't take a chirp.
I'm like, oh, what? He's smarter than me.
Yeah. Yeah, this league's getting too small, man. Thicken those boys up a little bit. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, Josh, my player of the week, unfortunately, already off to a dominant start to the year. It's the year 2022.
Yep.
My goodness, it's wrecking us. It took Bob Saget away. I don't know if Madden might have been 2021. Same with Betty White, but man, this is last week. Tough with these celebrities going. They're picking them off one by one. My goodness. But my other player of the week here, on a better note, it's Josh Borger, Mr. Promotion himself.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about it, Josh. Talk to the fans. Congrats.
Yeah, I kind of slightly got a little bit promoted at work, from a graduate assistant to a full-time or an interim full-time position. So I got about 4 months to prove myself. And then if it goes well, I get the full-time job. If it doesn't, I go back to being a GA and I get a free education. So, I mean, it's kind of a win-win. Like, you know what? They trust me enough to give me this opportunity, and we'll see if it actually ends up happening.
There you go. Making bank, right?
Yeah, more than I did before.
that's the key right there. All right. Fan base of the week, Josh?
So my fan base of the week, we've already touched on this, so I'm not going to go that in depth, is the Jacksonville Jaguars fans.
Of course.
Because they showed up in clown gear.
They won and got the number one pick. Man, not a lot more you can ask for there. They made our first NFL Week 18 the memorable week that it was. So thank you, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. My fan base of the week is North Dakota State fans because, my goodness, I don't know if you know this, they won another FCS national championship.
Did see that.
They are an all-time dynasty. They've won – It's like 8 of the last 10 FCS national championships.
They won't let us forget that.
It's where Trey Lance went. It's where Carson Wentz went. So they actually have first-round picks coming out of there, too. Why aren't they just an FBS school at this point? Like, why not just make the jump?
Because I don't think they can compete at the next level.
Well, they could compete in, like, a smaller conference, try to work their way up, you know? I don't know. They're probably making way more money as an FCS school, I guess, right?
They probably are.
Yeah.
But
let's see. Did you do your fan base of the week?
Jacksonville
fans. Coach of the week.
I'll give you one guess as to who my coach of the week is.
Mike Tomlin?
Brandon Staley.
Oh, duh. Oh,
probably the stupidest timeout I've ever seen.
Duh. Idiot. Idiot.
My other player of the week is also Big Ben Roethlisberger, by the way.
Okay. Might as well throw him in while we're at it. My coach of the week is Jim Harbaugh. Congratulations, you have the Chicago Bears job. Just come back home and take it, Jim.
Chicago?
What?
He's from Chicago?
I don't know if he's from there, but he was drafted by the Bears.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Couple good memories, I guess. He was pretty bad as the Bears quarterback. But.
Tell the world it's coming home.
Let's see, Josh. What do we have left here? We have kicker and tweet. Who's your kicker of the week?
Daniel Carlson's my kicker of the week. I mean, that's a no-brainer for me. Yeah. I have to go with it.
I was going to give that one to you. I knew that was going to be mine as well. But, you earned it. So he's my kicker of the week as well. Congrats to him. Knocking the Steelers into the playoffs, knocking his own team into the playoffs, eliminating a rival. That's got to feel good.
It felt good for me.
And lastly, tweet of the week.
Do you want to go first?
No, because I don't even know what my I do know what my tweet of the week is. So this comes from John Reyes.
Oh, I thought Josh Borger when I tweeted 7 after the Steelers won.
No, that would have been good though.
That was a
tweet. Comes from John Reyes. He says he tweets out a picture of his wife shoveling snow. And he says, even after a 12-hour night shift at the hospital last night, my wife still has the energy to shovel the driveway. God bless her and all our frontliners. Time to make her some breakfast. He takes this from the upstairs window. She has the entire driveway to go, just so you know. She's made like one shovel mark into it. She's got a long way to go. Her husband is not out there to help her after that 12-hour shift. And
he is getting absolutely dragged on Twitter. They're like, dude, put on a pair of boots and pick up a shovel. Do something. No, he said, I'm going to make some eggs. That should take a good 30 seconds.
Everyone was just ripping him. The number of people that were like, a snowstorm hit like the entire Midwest this weekend. And they're just like, the amount of people that were just like, yeah, I can't wait to make my wife some breakfast. Like, just, it was ruthless. It was a great tweet. That was a great tweet of the week, Kellen.
Thank you.
I'm not
the one who tweeted it. Thank you for giving us that content, John Reyes.
I do have three tweets of the week.
Three. Let's go.
First one.
Seven.
Four tweets of the week. First one. Second one comes from, I found a new favorite hockey account, Ava. If humans are supposedly the smartest species on Earth, why did it take NHL goalies till 1959 to start wearing facial protection?
Yeah. I mean, my goodness.
People are asking. People have asked that before.
And not even good facial protection at the time. No. it was just a mask directly on the face. So it's like, yeah.
Now, do you know who Bo Bennett is, possibly?
I feel like I've heard the name.
NHL player used to play for the Penguins, played for a bunch of teams. He's known for being hurt all the time. Anyway, so Pete Blackburn tweets out, and we might have some competition, Alan.
Blackburn.
He tweeted out, Evander Kane and Antonio Brown are about to start a podcast together.
Oh, we got to up our crazy level, dude.
We might lose. We might be out of the podcast game if we...
Should we start getting drunk again for the podcast every week? I think so.
Yeah, because I've not been drunk on a podcast in a very, very long
time. Yeah. No, I need to start it back up. I just need to start doing those kamikaze shots again.
And so that would end us. But Bo Bennett, I just realized that was my tweet of the week. Five tweets of the week. Bo Bennett tweets, Cain and Abel... A-B-E-L, New Testament. Hilarious. Name of the podcast. That's funny. Final tweet of the week. Oregon State football tweets out pictures of them imploding part of their stadium. So they were renovating the stadium and they like imploded part of it. And they tweet out pictures of that and go, boom. USU football goes, geez, guys, it was only a bowl game because they beat Oregon State in the bowl game. So
that's tough. Yeah.
Hilarious to me. But that's my tweet of the week there.
Nice.
I had a lot of tweets, man, this week. I spent a long time right on the Twitter machine.
Good time on Twitter. It was a really good week of sports. Really fun. Lots to talk about. Any other closing notes you want to mention here?
I don't think so. If I'm not here next week, it's because the Steelers lost.
Okay. Yeah. We'll start sending in your resumes, job applications for our second co-host spot.
People that are looking for it. And I just stay unbiased this week, everybody. Thank you all so much for joining us. Bob Saget, this one's for you.
It's been a long day.
Hey, why didn't you just play the Full House theme song?
And I'll tell you all about
it. Because I've played this like 3 weeks in a row, so I have to keep doing
it. Well, we might as well switch it up.
Long way from where we began.
Bob.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
R.I.P. Bob Saget. R.I.P. Betty White. R.I.P. John Madden.
Bob.
Damn.
This podcast is off the rails.
Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paper boy, the evening TV. Everywhere you look, there's a home.
I've never watched Full House.
America's Dad.
I've literally never watched Full House. I thought America's Dad was Ben Roethlisberger. That's why it was trending on Twitter.
Not who you want to be your dad right there.
I think he's a great dad. Most of his trials and tribulations came before he had a family. Not a great 20-year-old boyfriend?
R.I.P. Bob Saget. That's all I'll say.
Rip, Bob. It's great to see you.